about.
I welcome this opportunity to speak to the people of America about a subject which I believe to be most important, and that is the subject of
the Kevin and Bean Show.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Kevin and Bean are a great radio team because they have a combination. I mean, Bean, veteran broadcaster. Kevin, funny, everyman, fire and ice, coming together to create lukewarm water. Okay, that doesn't sound great. But fire and ice is good. Fire and ice staying apart, but just far enough apart so that the ice doesn't melt and become lukewarm water.
I just want to say thank you and everybody that's listening. I love you all. God bless America.
God bless America.
People don't care at all, or they care a lot.
And now.
Women get colder than men because all the blood goes to the womb, so sometimes I turn the heat up. But then it's like someone else turns it back down.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday morning, the 21st of February.
Billy Graham has died. Thoughts?
That's probably sad for his family.
Mm-hmm. Seems like it's been coming for a while.
Well, he was 99.
Yeah.
Oh.
I look at and he's been retired for a number of years. I look at a clean-living, God-fearing man like Billy Graham,
mm-hmm.
and I think, if he can't make it to 100.
Well, I don't think maybe that was his goal, Bean.
Well, it should be everybody's goal, but I'm saying more importantly, okay. It's my goal, because this is about me.
You're not going to make it to 80.
I'm going to make it to 100.
I mean, you're really not.
But I see Billy Graham, and I go, okay, now that concerns me, because, like I said, he had everything going for him. He didn't make it to 100. What do I need to do differently now? I need to really stop and think about my goal here, because I want to make it happen.
You need to readjust your goal is what needs to happen.
110.
Because there are a lot of people.
I was thinking about that, too.
There are a lot of people who are healthy and have good, happy lives and die 90. It's okay.
80 even. 70.
Too young. Too young. Life is precious. Got to squeeze every minute of it.
Right.
I think.
That's what you're known for.
Do you guys ever see Reverend Graham? Do you ever see him speak? I mean, he ministered to millions and millions of people throughout the 20th century with all those free stadium rallies for decades. Did you ever go?
No.
Really? Went. No.
You?
You
went?
A tremendous speaker. Yeah. I mean,
you watched him on TV.
No, I went. I went and saw him in person. It is no pun intended, a religious experience when you see how powerfully his words affected the people in front of him. I mean, he was magnetic. He was a tremendous speaker.
Mm-hmm.
I admired him very much.
Okay. Where are you going with this?
I thought we were having a conversation here.
Well, I mean, Billy Graham has died is how it began.
You have no thoughts.
Kind of a bummer. Well, I mean, I don't care that much. Like right. Ali said, I'm sure his family is sad, but he lived a good long life.
Sure.
Seemed like he accomplished a lot.
I felt
a
like
life well lived.
I felt like he was good on civil rights, but not so good on gay rights. That was my takeaway.
I feel like
he was very much the Bible is the literal word of God guy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
What, Ali? What, yeah?
I don't like discussing religion with people. There are bad people in every aspect of religion.
Certainly.
And they pretend not to be, so let's not raise everybody up to the standard. Let's call it a day, shall we?
We're just going to call it a day already?
Yeah, let's all go home.
I feel like we just got here.
All right.
Boy, the show went fast.
Yeah. What we need to do is have Bean refigure his plan.
Yeah.
Because living to 100. I mean,
I think it's a great idea.
All right, but let me just ask you a question. What if your health gets poor?
Well, I'm the healthiest man alive.
Like it isn't already.
I'm the healthiest man alive.
I know you keep saying that, but I'm saying what if your health gets bad and you're miserable in your 90s? Don't you just want to go?
I don't know, it'd be very tough for me to give up without achieving that goal. I mean, you can't have a goal. Oh, sorry. Okay.
What is it that you get when you turn 100? You want Fred Willard or whoever it is to congratulate you on the Today Show?
Fred Willard.
Might be whatever that guy.
Whatever that situation is.
He just, you come on and he goes, what happened?
No, Willard Scott has been retired for a number of years.
Yeah, whatever,
so
whoever,
I don't think he does it.
But they do a special 100th
I think they
birthday.
Do. I think there is a mention. And by the way.
Is that your goal?
I tell you what. It's funny. I had thought about this before. You get a card from Queen Elizabeth if you turn 100.
There it is.
You get a card from Her Majesty. Now, Her Majesty will not be alive.
No,
when
probably
I
not.
100.
No.
But King William, he'll send a card.
Mm-hmm.
So, boom. How do you like me now?
It is impressive.
Is that good?
It makes it all worthwhile, doesn't it?
Does it?
Yeah, I think so.
What if you're miserable in your 90s, though?
I visited my dad in Las Vegas this weekend, as you know, and I met a friend of his in his facility, Leon, who is 98 and is doing great.
I don't think so.
How
Kevin.
Is that even relevant, Kevin? How is that appropriate or
just
relevant?
Just a friend at his.
Just a 98-year-old friend
home.
Of my dad.
A friend, in yeah. a friend of his dad.
That's not how. That's not what that means at all. Oh. No. But anyway, just doing great. Couldn't be doing any better. And that's Leon's my life goal now. So I'm gonna get inside his head and find out what he's doing.
Oh, do Leon! I heard Leah.
No, it was Leon.
Oh, yeah, right. You know how Leon do.
All right, now I'm calling it a day. Looks like we're all done now. Terrible show.
Bean, I'm really sorry about your friend Billy.
Thank you, Allie. I appreciate your concern.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
We call BS.
Billy Graham has died. Thoughts?
What?
That's how the show started today.
It just came across within the last 5 minutes. So it was on my mind. I thought we might discuss.
All right. World Star Wednesday happens on Wednesdays, of course. So that we've got a good batch for you today. We've got an update on the billboards. There's an actual update.
This is good news.
We're going to talk about Lonzo Ball and his burgeoning rap career.
Ooh.
Very excited about that. It says here, Bean, and I'm unclear what the story is. Woman marries 300-year-old pirate ship.
No. Ghost.
300-year-old pirate ghost.
That's correct. Did not marry a ship, because that would be crazy. But she married a ghost.
Right.
Not my fault.
That's King of Mexico, right. And Travis Barker is going to be back in the studio. We're going to have to start paying him, aren't we?
Yeah.
He's frequently here.
Travis Barker and John Feldman will be here talking about a music festival at Huntington Beach.
So. And by the way, I think this is going to be huge.
I do too.
Real fun lineup.
That looks like a weekend at the beach right there.
Well, it is.
It is a weekend.
Yeah.
At the beach,
but I'm saying it's super fun with everything that we're going to announce today, right?
Right. So that's coming up this morning as well. We will take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
We are the show giving you the opportunity to see the band Portugal the Band in Portugal. That's right. You get to see them locally at the Shrine Auditorium, and you also qualify for the grand prize to round-trip airfare, hotel, and tickets to see them at the Nos Alive Music Festival, 9 a.m. this morning, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Wednesday, Allie, what's happening?
This is a beef I didn't see coming.
Okay.
You know, Twitter, people get all up in arms. One person takes a jab at one person, that person fires back, then everyone piles on.
And it's on.
It is on. Well, this beef, Kirstie Alley versus the sport of curling.
All right, I'm on Kirstie Alley's side.
Are you?
I'm not positive yet, but let me hear.
You might be. She tweeted, I'm not trying to be mean, but curling is boring.
Okay, I'm with her.
Those who caught a shuffleboard on ice are ill-advised.
I will tell you this. Team Schuster, they're on the men's curling team.
Okay.
We're not pleased. They tweeted back, we're not trying to be mean either, but your movies weren't exactly riveting theater, Kirstie.
Oh!
Hashtag just saying, hashtag curling, hashtag rocket. All right. And then another curler joins in, and he's like, you're totally entitled to your wrong opinion.
Right.
Okay, but here's where it then just gets weird. Mr. T.
Oh, Mr. T loves curling.
Pops up with, curling is cool. I pity the fool who don't like curling. Hashtag curling is cool, fool.
He's been tweeting about curling through the whole Olympics.
And then Aaron Rodgers.
What?
Quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Hey, Matt J. Hamilton. He's the one that said you're entitled to your wrong opinion. Pulling for you and your mustache this Olympic Games. Bring home a medal to Wisconsin. Hashtag Pancake Day 2018. Hashtag Pancakes. Hashtag Sam Elliott. Hashtag Bobby Goulet. Hashtag Internet Friends Day. So he's just letting you know other people with majestic mustaches. So then Kirstie Alley, she kind of admits defeat. And she says, okay.
Well, once Mr. T weighs in, you've lost the fight.
Absolutely.
That's true.
So she says, okay, I'm going to give it another chance. My son loves watching curling. He doesn't love figure skating, which I do. So we can make each other give second chances today.
And then she tried again, and then she said, dull.
No.
Wow,
no,
that's dull.
But Team Schuster, and this is where I say, Kevin, we got to get a hold of Team Schuster. They said, oh, Kirstie Alley, we knew you'd come around. Allow us or our good friends at Hollywood Curl to show you and your sons the rope sometime.
Curlings.
Wow. Is there curling fever? Do you guys
there's
feel
curling
this?
Fever, and I say we get you and Kirstie Alley out there with Team Schuster at Hollywood Curl, and we settle this on the ice. Who's with me?
Does it involve curling?
It involves curling.
Kevin, you've already said on the air that you could learn how to curl well enough to go to the Olympics in about 6 weeks.
6 weeks?
Yeah.
You did.
6 days.
Oh.
Don't be ridiculous. 6 weeks.
The worst.
Now, I almost said skate. You don't skate, right?
I can do slaloms in 6 weeks.
Do you skate on this curling or do you not skate?
Oh, dear. No, you glide.
You walk on shoes that are smooth.
Okay.
That's really lame.
You're going to compete without steroids, though, right? You're not one of those
commie bastards. I'm going to juice it up.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
gonna
get
play clean.
Swole. That's right. And then head out there with the rock. Like the actual rock.
Put the rock in the house.
Yeah.
I believe you said... Don't let it get to the hog line.
No.
Because that's bad.
Yeah. You said to the lovely woman, Liza, over at Hollywood Curl, that you would get it into the
house
on your first try.
Well, I said if I did, she owes me $100.
And she said she will admit to you that curling is not a sport if you can do that. So I think she's pretty okay with you not making it into the house.
Got to schedule that.
I mean, I don't know that we have to schedule that.
No, we do.
I mean, I feel like we don't have to.
But you're forgetting about...
Yeah, I don't...
Curlings.
Yeah, I heard it on the radio.
Yeah.
Heard a guy say that.
I just said that.
And does he say curlings fever with an S?
I may have to revisit that edit.
How do we never notice?
I did drop
curling in to replace another word that used to be there. So, all right, hang on. I think you're right, Ellie. I think I screwed that up.
Curlings.
it was a trim.
We'll just give it a little trim.
Curlings.
And how jealous is Bean not to be this 11-year-old little boy named Luke, who received a summons in the mail instructing him to report to Chester County Courthouse for jury duty next month? An 11-year-old.
That's so awesome.
So his mom went online to request an exemption and wasn't able to do it because there's no option for too young to serve.
Oh, that's funny.
Because why would there be? But apparently the court admits that they recently hired a new company to handle all jury selections. They've removed his name from the system. But on a positive note, little Luke is so excited about being on a jury.
But he's not really going to be on a jury.
He's not. Okay, not right. For at least, what, seven more years?
7 more years. He can look forward to that, though.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's awesome.
I knew Bean would like that story.
Bean wants to be a juror so bad, and they just will not call him.
I would like to be a full-time juror. I would like that to be my job. I had a lot of trouble with the website for my dad. My dad got a jury summons, and in Nevada, if you are 70 or above, you don't have to serve. It's an automatic exemption.
Yeah.
And I went through a long and very laborious process on their website to finally get to the same drop-down menu that little Luke came across. No option on there for, hey, I'm over 70.
So too young to serve and too old to serve.
Yeah.
Not options.
And they don't give you options on the websites. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Not a great system.
It's not a great system.
Yeah.
So you just threw it away and pretended you didn't see it, right?
Nope.
Like Kevin? What y'all do.
I called him, got him on the phone, and they said, oh, he's over 70. Okay, no problem. We'll take care of it.
So they just took your word for it?
Did you at some point say, hey, how about putting an option on the website?
I did mention that.
Yeah,
I did say they could have saved me a phone call.
I
got to call about jury duty, though, so I didn't mind that call.
You did mention that they should change their website, yet you don't mention to a hotel that your pillow's bloody.
That is correct, yes.
I mean, he left a note that said, ew.
You're right.
It's about the same thing.
I feel like I did my part. Please refer to yesterday's podcast if you have no idea what this terrifying story is that I referred to.
sweet Lord, that picture that he posted at Clyde Tombaugh of the pillow with a note that just says, not my blood, ew. Oh, that's magic. All right, some birthdays for you. We've got actresses Sophie Turner, Ashley Green, Ellen Page, Jennifer Love Hewitt, actor-director Jordan Peele, and actor Kelsey Grammer. And that's what's happening.
We have reported many times on the Kevin and Bean Show about stories in the news regarding phantom poopers, including one here at K-Rock one time. Remember, we had a phantom pooper running around?
Yep.
Well, there's something else going on in the parking lot of K-Rock that is not poop, but the way Beer Mug and others are reacting, it's worse than poop. And
we will tell you.
The way people are reacting to it, though, there's a lot of ooh factor going on.
It's a super weird thing.
It's super weird.
Yeah.
So we'll tell you all about that coming up later this morning. Don't forget also John Feldman and Travis Barker will be here to announce a new festival in Huntington Beach that you will love to hear about. That's at 8 a.m. First, though, good morning, Michael Catherwood.
Hi, everybody.
How did this start? How did Wednesday World Star Wednesday start?
I just realized that it's the greatest website ever. It's the most versatile. It's the most comprehensive.
Uh-huh.
And I figured why not dedicate at least one day to worshiping at the altar of World Star Hip Hop.
World Star Wednesday on Hub. Scream, hip, hip, hooray. World Star Wednesday, everybody's crazy.
Yeah.
Let's see what we have for you today.
World Star!
Our first clip, you see, we share a language with our friends over there in the UK. Mm-hmm. But there is some differences, some slight differences, especially when it comes to slang.
Right.
And actor Dan Stevens, you know him from Legion?
Oh, so good.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah. The Guest, Downton Abbey.
Legion's coming back, by the way. I just want to mention that.
Yeah, that's good to point out.
I think early March.
He is getting interviewed in his home in foggy London town, and there may be a communication breakdown here, but it is so funny. Check it out.
This is you as an All-American and a big opportunity for you in Hollywood. You must have had to beat off a lot of American men to get this part. Why does that make you giggle? Did you not have to beat them off?
You had to get the role. There was quite a few men up for the role as well.
There were.
And compose yourself.
She still doesn't know, does she?
Everyone in the cameramen, you can hear them all laughing. They're in on it, but
she didn't understand even to the end.
Why is that funny?
Compose yourself.
A man is making a delivery. He is a delivery truck operator. And apparently the security guard at the area he's dropping off whatever he's delivering is not happy about where he parked the truck.
Okay.
So he decides to, as he's getting into a conflict, film himself so that he can have evidence of what goes down.
I asked you to leave me alone. You come out here being disrespectful.
Being disrespectful? You're at a funeral home.
Oh, we understand. You should have just said, move the truck. State your name.
What's your name, sir?
My name is Deez.
These what, sir?
These nuts!
He couldn't even get through it.
I don't know why
is that so funny?
I could bring in a clip every week of these nuts, and I don't know why. I love it so much.
I do too.
This guy took over the internet about a year ago when he made his way onto the internet because he is the greatest, certainly the most Australian person I've ever seen.
Okay.
But he apparently threw a party so legendary that it got him on the news because of the just tremendous amount of damage. So you think if I'm being interviewed because I had a party mm-hmm. where everyone in the neighborhood's house was destroyed.
Right.
I wouldn't be so confident, but old Corey Worthington, he's a real champ.
You're pretty happy with the way you look and the attitude you've got, are you?
Yeah, my parents aren't, but I am.
Okay, Corey, we've got to wrap this up, but what would you say to other kids who were thinking of partying when their parents are out of town?
Get me to do it for you.
Get you to do it for you. Not don't do it.
Nah, get me to do it for you. Best party ever so far. That's what everyone's been saying, so.
Well, we've got to go, but I suggest you go away and take a good, long, hard look at yourself.
I love her.
I have. Everyone has. They love it.
I love her. She's so disappointed in him.
She hates him. She has to interview him.
She sets him up big time for him to just make that apology that she knows is coming and it never does.
Talking to your grandma, you realize sometimes there's a generation gap. And this young lesbian girl is trying to explain to her grandmother how her lesbian relationship works. And Grandma can't seem to wrap her head around it.
You kiss her and you love her.
Yes.
So you give big kisses at night.
Yes.
And they're just on the lips. That's bullshit.
Yes, Grandma.
That is bullshit. And you know it. You don't kiss just her lips with those lips. That is bullshit. What else do you kiss with that mouth?
Grandma, we're not going to talk about this.
I never heard of this in my life.
She seems to know a lot about it for never hearing about it in her life.
Right?
She seems to be very agitated about
that
it.
Is BS.
In a good way.
Tell me exactly how you kiss.
Give me all the details.
Anesthesia can do weird things to people. The internet is just littered with people who are having these funny reactions to being put under. This is maybe the most insane one I've ever seen. You cannot believe this. This is a young girl, probably in her teens.
And do you think it's real?
It's definitely real.
Okay.
Right. Either that or she's the greatest actress that's ever lived.
Okay.
This mom is filming her daughter, who's in her teens, coming out of surgery, and this is not what you want to hear your daughter saying.
I need you. I'm choking.
No, you're not choking. No, listen to
I'm
me.
I'm choking.
No.
She's saying she's choking?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
I'm choking on a big fat black. BBC. No. Big black. Ah! You're hurting me.
Oh, no.
Then she does the BBC chant.
So not only does your daughter's brain go there, but clearly she's been on RedTube a couple times because she's got the acronym down. BBC, Mom!
That's going to be an awkward conversation when she comes out of that anesthesia.
World Star!
World Star Wednesday, everybody's crazy.
World Star!
Lonzo Ball of the L.A. Lakers and his burgeoning rap career. We'll talk about next half hour on the Kevin Devine Show, plus bring you the story of the woman who married a 300-year-old pirate ghost. That's coming up. But first, I think we got to deal with Beer Mug. His head's going to explode if he has one more day of walking through our parking lot.
Is it you, Allie?
It is not me.
Is it you, Kevin?
By the way, I'm fascinated by this, too. It makes it just makes no sense.
Chip?
Not me.
I didn't know about this until Beer Mug texted me the other day. And Mugs and I are friends, but we don't text each other often. So I knew that it was a red alert when I got this text from Mugs. He was so incensed. But apparently this has been going on in the parking lot for months, right? And it's just at the boiling point for you.
At least a year, over a year. And it's the most disgusting, mind-boggling.
All right, it's not the most disgusting.
It is the most disgusting. Okay. It's awful.
It's up there.
Hey, Bug, get on the green mic there.
Sure. All right, what's going on, Mugs?
Well, for about, like we said, over a year now, in the K-Rock parking lot, someone finds it in them to floss their teeth using those floss picks,
mm-hmm.
the disposable floss picks, and just litter them on the ground where we park, where the parking spots are.
Now, the weird thing is you won't just see one.
No,
it's not just one.
There's a grouping of like five, six, seven.
Yeah.
And the first couple times that I saw this, I was like, oh, maybe you know, it's one time this guy dropped them. Or
I thought somebody dropped like a package, that they had.
No, but this is going on for a year, and we've been trying to get down to the bottom of it, and they're to no avail. I don't know who it is, but whoever it is, really? Seriously? Come on.
Do we think that they are flossing their teeth at work mm-hmm. in the parking lot and then discarding the pick outside?
Absolutely.
That's what you think, Mike.
It has to be. Why on earth would, as Allie pointed out, if they're just dropping them,
right?
Why would they be in the same exact spot periodically, every couple weeks, three or four at a time?
Yeah.
There's no possibility that someone just has a timer on a package that unleashes it out of their pocket.
But who flosses at work in the parking lot? That's a weird. If you're going to floss,
bizarre choice.
If you're going to floss, don't you do it after you brush your teeth?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Morning or night, whatever.
But props to whoever it is. I mean, good on them for practicing good oral hygiene. But
true, very true.
But really, you have to. This is a place of business, and I know that sounds funny coming from me because I used to wear sandals to work. But
sure.
But this is a place of business. We have Travis Barker coming in later. He's going to see all these floss picks in the parking lot that he parks his car in. It's disgusting.
That's not the worst thing he's seen recently. But honestly, I could care less that it's toothpicks. I'm blown away that an adult consistently makes the choice to litter.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
It's very strange.
That he or she works at. Let's be honest, though. It's a he, right?
Yes,
probably.
Yes,
for sure. I've put some thought into it.
You have.
Because it tends to happen, like, maybe once a week you'll see a clumping either right in front of the handicap spots or about five spots over to the right.
Okay.
I feel like it's not someone that's here all the time.
Okay.
Maybe it's someone that comes for a weekly meeting.
Oh, interesting.
And maybe they have food at the meeting, that type of thing. They start walking out. They start flossing their teeth.
So
just
hold
dumps
on.
It.
So they have the floss picks with them?
Oh, for sure.
Okay. So then they eat at mm-hmm. work, and then on their way out, they start
yeah.
flossing.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that would mean they're dropping them during the day.
Yeah.
If they're coming for meetings.
I don't yes. think they're dropping them at night.
Well, okay. I mean, there's no way to know.
Yeah. Well, they could be, sure.
Short of putting mugs out there for about a week straight, 24/7.
I think I do have to go out there and do some surveillance.
Okay.
And find out who the culprit is.
Like dress as a bush?
I'll just hide in the bush.
Okay.
I mean, there is a bush out there. He could just hide in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jump it right in the bush.
Not that I don't love the idea of mugs having to live outside.
Right.
Don't we have any kind of security cameras with footage we could just go through and do that instead?
We do. We checked that, and they don't cover our parking lot.
Wow. turns out, being for like the last 3 years, they haven't been taping anything.
So what's the wow. point of having the cameras? Mm-hmm. Well, who knew? We didn't. They were haven't been working for 3 years.
Wow.
So that's shocking, too, right?
I think no. I need to go out there and do some good old-fashioned surveillance and find out who this awful, disgusting person is.
Bush mug.
I'm like in. That.
Bush yeah. mug. Now, what are you going to do if you find someone flossing and throwing?
I'm going to ask them, why the hell do they think it's okay to just throw them on the ground and for everybody to see their disgusting tooth goo everywhere?
You going to put it like that, Muggs?
Yes.
Maybe work on that before you...
Maybe work on the delivery of exactly how you're saying it.
I know. I honestly, like, it's
mind-boggling.
Something that, like what, like, a child would do.
It's also odd that it's more than one, because usually if you have that pick and you have something in your teeth, if you're at work, maybe you use it once. But there's 4, 5, 6, seven picks.
And there's a trash can outside about 20 feet from where they're on the ground. I mean, it's not like this person can't, unless they can't move that easily to over to the trash can, but there's no reason for them to just dump them all in the same parking spot. I don't understand.
It is oftentimes near the handicap spot, though, right?
It is.
It is.
You know, it's not an excuse. I'm just saying, like, maybe that narrows down who this
it
might
could.
Be.
I don't think that calls for them to litter.
No, even the smokers here.
Yeah,
right.
They all figure out a way to get every single butt off that concrete.
Right.
How on earth can you be picking your teeth? I mean,
using 4, 5, 6, 7 of them.
Yeah,
and then just throwing them sort of in a little clump right there in the same spot.
And who needs 5 or 6 or 7 of them in one mouth?
Right.
Again, I've thought
Terrell
about that.
Owens?
They've got huge chiclets.
A lot of teeth.
We need to go through, find out who has the biggest teeth here, and we'll narrow it down.
Automatically blame them?
Yes.
All right. Allie, why don't you work on that on your side?
Okay.
And Muggs, you start living in the parking lot on your side,
Done.
And we'll get this one figured out.
We're going to get to the bottom of it.
Okay, good. Look, you don't know that a woman can't marry a 300-year-old pirate ghost.
I mean,
right?
It happened. I mean, it's
that's
real.
What I'm saying, but I think there's doubters. What I've heard on Twitter, people seem to doubt that this woman did indeed marry a 300-year-old pirate ghost.
Well,
it happens.
They're going to have to decide for themselves after they hear from her coming up right after 7 a.m. because we have that for you here on KROQ. First, though, Allie, what's happening?
Well, I told you yesterday, and in case you missed it, after the Olympics, Saturday Night Live will be back, and NBC has announced their show host for March. We knew that NBA Hall of Famer Charles Barkley would be back hosting for his fourth time on March 3rd with musical guest Migos, and we now know that This Is Us is Randall, and he's in Black Panther. Sterling K. Brown is going to make his SNL hosting debut on March 10th, along with singer-songwriter James Bay. And then, the next week, on St. Patrick's Day, it will be the return of former SNL star Bill Hader with Arcade Fire. I like it. I like that lineup a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's weird timing for Arcade Fire to be the musical guest.
Where are they in their album cycle?
Exactly.
Just In, right in between, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Usually you go on when you got something new to promote,
huh?
Or something that's hot on the charts. And Arcade Fire, to my knowledge, has neither of those right now. But they are always great on SNL. So I mean, I'm not hating on seeing them. I'm just
maybe they're
going to
release a new song.
That's what I'm saying. Between now and then, yeah. They've
that'd
got
be, that,
3 weeks.
That'd be great.
Did you guys see the video of Wynn Butler doing a little karaoke?
I did see that.
That was interesting.
Yes, it
just
was.
Just randomly just showing up doing some tunes.
Sort of
now,
strange.
Is that cool or uncool if you're doing karaoke, if you're a singer and you do one of your own songs? Do you allow it?
I mean, it seems uncool, but it depends on the people that are there. It depends on how much you've had to drink.
Mm-hmm. And don't you think a lot of people were like, I really like this song. This guy does it good. Because I don't think a lot of people, if you're not really into Arcade Fire, you don't know what he looks like.
Yeah, that's true. He doesn't stand out apart from that band. Yeah.
And I'm sure there are at least a few people in the audience tonight who went, dude, you did not do a good job with that song. Don't attempt that.
Seriously, you should listen to the real one. It's really good. Well, this is great news. It was his birthday yesterday, Jay Hernandez. We love him. Remember him, Diablo, Suicide Squad,
sure.
Bad Moms. He was most recently on the show Scandal. He was a journalist, by the way, Bean, on Scandal, remember?
Oh, I know who he is, Jay Hernandez. Yeah,
yeah.
Very talented actor.
Love him. He has been cast as Magnum P.I. He will be
interesting
in the rebooted Magnum P.I. as Magnum. Yeah. He's going to return from a stint in the Navy SEALs, and he returns home from Afghanistan and becomes a private eye.
Is there, I hate to ask, but everyone's thinking it, is there any news in the article about whether he will be asked to grow a bitchin' mustache?
There is no mustache news. There's conflicting...
I'm sorry, bitchin' mustache.
It was bitchin', yeah. There is no word on whether it's in Hawaii. Then another article will say it was hard to cast because it's in Hawaii.
Okay.
So everything's real up in the air. But we do know that Magnum's butler, who was played by John Hillerman in the original series, Higgins, is being changed to a female in the series.
Okay.
So do you think there's going to be a little chemistry? Little give and take, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Nice.
I didn't realize mustaches were that itchy.
I will tell you that my default position when I hear about all these reboots, and there have certainly been a lot of announcements lately of shows coming back from the dead, is why do we need a reboot of Magnum P.I.? That's what I ordinarily thought. But I thought the same thing about Hawaii Five-O, and look how tremendously successful that has been for, what, 6 seasons or something?
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
so if you
show.
Get the right people, do a good job with it, I guess there's no problem with it.
And for people that didn't see Magnum P.I., which is a lot of people, it's just a hot Navy SEAL that comes back and now he's a private eye.
Right.
It's just a whole new show.
Yeah, I guess so.
With Hawaii Five-O and this show, there's a lot of stuff going on in Hawaii, and that's just not the case. I feel like it's a pretty dull island,
yes.
And everybody just sits around waiting for a call.
You're right.
It really is. But then there's Hawaii Five-O, and they've always got a death to solve.
Yeah.
And it's craziness. Now Magnum P.I.
Maybe there's an underbelly to Hawaii that we just don't see as tourists.
It's possible.
It is possible.
No, it isn't.
But I support the casting of Jay Hernandez.
Yeah, same.
Know what I'm saying? This is a weird story. Ashton Kutcher went on Dax Shepard's podcast, Armchair Expert, and said he spent a week in the mountains of Big Sky, Montana, after divorcing Demi Moore. He had no food, just drank water and tea, and did Tai Chi to fight hallucinations.
To fight hallucinations?
Do you hallucinate just after a week of not eating? I would think maybe like sleep deprivation, maybe.
To fight hallucinations. But if he went there to fight hallucinations, was he already having them?
I don't know.
Huh.
I don't know. But he said it was a real spiritual awakening. And he wrote letters to people that he had regrets or grudges against on the last day and sent them out. So, yeah, I guess if you're going through some stuff, like a divorce from Demi Moore, head up to Montana. Don't eat.
You have to go to Montana and
Big Sky, Montana.
Okay.
Yeah, just have some water, tea, do some Tai Chi, and fight some hallucinations.
That is excellent advice for any of our listeners who may find themselves in that exact situation.
A lot of people divorcing Demi Moore. It's very, very sad. I don't know why she can't stay married. It's very sad. Fergie. Wow.
Fergie.
Yeah, with the national anthem of at the NBA All-Star Game.
See Jimmy explaining why he was caught on camera. He didn't realize he was caught on camera kind of smiling, laughing.
No, what did he say?
During Fergie's national anthem. And he said he didn't realize he was on TV until his phone started just buzzing like crazy.
Oh, no.
Just
vibrating.
He's like, that's when I knew that I had been caught on TV.
Oh, well, she got ruined, essentially, for her somewhat sexy version. She kind of did her own thing with the national anthem, which some people thought she went a little bit too far. But there's video that is just so adorable of Josh Duhamel showing up with their four-year-old son, Axel, and a bunch of flowers to their home. Just as a little pick-me-up. Like, hey, we still love you.
Everyone hates you.
I lost all respect for all of you and the Black Eyed Peas and Fergie, your fuckly bitch.
Whoa.
Wow.
That seems harsh.
I mean, that's
Take it easy.
Yeah, calm down. She's beautiful and has a great voice. It was a misstep. It happens. But she's got to be feeling so low. And then her little boy comes over with flowers. And then you look at Josh Duhamel and you're like, we're divorcing. Oh, and then it's right back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then it's go to Montana.
Ouch.
Some birthdays for you guys. Actresses, Sophie Turner, Ashley Greene, Ellen Page, Jennifer Love Hewitt, actor, director, Jordan Peele, and comedian, actor, writer, podcast host, and Oscar nominee, who we love dearly, Kumail Nanjiani. Happy birthday. And that's what's happening.
1 hour from right now, our friend Travis Barker and super producer John Feldman are going to be in studio with us to unveil the details of a brand new music festival coming to Huntington Beach that you guys are going to be so excited about. By the way, I don't believe we've ever had Feldy on the show before, but I'm a huge admirer of all the work that he has done. He's amazing.
Yep,
and, agree. And, of course, we love Travis as well. So that's 1 hour from right now here on K-Rock. All right, you guys, it's time to meet Amanda Teague. She is from Downpatrick, Northern Ireland. She is tired of physical world men, Kevin,
sure.
And has found love in the ghost of an 18th century Haitian pirate. She is now legally married to him. Now, you haven't heard from her yet. I got some tape standing by.
I know. I love her.
Is she automatically crazy, or is it possible she's onto something here?
Clearly automatic crazy, but
you think crazy?
Really? Let's hear her out.
But I love crazy. I'm good with crazy.
Well, why don't we start with the very first clip to get to the only thing you're interested in, which is how exactly does sexy time work when you're married to a ghost?
Obviously, certain positions work better for spiritual sex than others. It's easier to feel energy, for example, in the missionary position than it would be if you were on top. It would be more difficult.
I wish the interviewer had followed up with some questions
as to why.
I have many questions about that. Like, how can that even be? How can one position be more difficult than another when you're, I'm sorry, Amanda, in bed by yourself?
Well, if you're on top with the ghost, then you're squishing him. Because he can't withstand your weight, right? You'd just be going right through him.
Okay.
You'd rather...
She seems to be... Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you speak Amanda. That concerns me a great
100%.
Deal. 100%. One of the things I love about this interview, by the way, and I don't know who did it, is the sexy music that they play before and during all the clips. It's like the weirdest thing that's happening. But let's meet Amanda and her husband, Jack, shall we?
My name is Amanda Sparrow Lard Teague. I'm a witch, I'm a spiritual teacher, and I'm well known for marrying the ghost of a 300-year-old pirate.
Okay, Amanda is a witch, by the way,
uh-huh.
Spiritual teacher. What she doesn't mention in the clip that I found in my deep research dive is that she also works as a Jack Sparrow impersonator.
I was wondering where the sparrow came from.
A Jack Sparrow impersonator.
So what are the chances that her ghost lover would be a 300-year-old pirate?
How about that?
She's a Jack Sparrow impersonator. Let's hear some more from Amanda.
Well, how we first met was I was in my room and I felt this energy around me. It was unfamiliar to me. It was not one of the energies that I was used to working with. So at that point, I said, clearly, this energy, this entity wants to connect with me, has something that it wants to say. So I decided that I would communicate.
More slow jams.
First thing he said to me is, I'm dead, you know. And I was, yes, I do, I get that.
I like that he opens with, I'm dead, you know.
That's not a good opening line.
Well, if you're a ghost, though, it's nice to get that out of the way
but
first.
But if you're trying to score, I mean, do you lead with I'm dead?
I don't think so. I love that Amanda is in no way discouraged by the fact that the spirit is reaching out to her and is dead. Is still she's open-minded enough to hear what Jack has to say.
So I asked him, obviously, who he was and what his purpose was. He told me that his name was Jack Teague and that he was a pirate. spent quite a lot of time connecting and I got to know him quite well. I discovered myself that I had romantic feelings towards him. And obviously he felt the same way. So it was shortly after Christmas in 2016 when he first put it to me that it was possible for us to have a relationship.
So apparently it sounds like Jack is the one who convinced her, hey, I know, you know, we're living in different planes here, but it's still okay. We can be together. Sounds like he kind of talked her into it.
She was a willing participant. Yeah.
It sounds like, Allie, not that you would know anything about sad, lonely women, mm-hmm. but this is a step too far is to become married to the dead, right, I think?
Listen, ghost sex is apparently real.
Is it?
And I am more than willing to try it out for the show.
Okay.
If another entity wants to come and we can do a little, you know, ghost boning.
Right.
But people truly believe that they have had sex with ghosts.
More than just this woman?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It is a thing.
Sex with ghosts.
Amanda has rules, by the way. She does talk in the interview later that, for instance, when you're having ghost sex, you're not allowed to – it cannot be masturbation. You're not allowed to touch yourself during ghost sex. It has to be exactly as if it were another person. So she's
strangely unfulfilling for her.
She claims it. How should I say? It works.
Is that right?
She does. She claims there is a conclusion. She also claims, by the way, and this is a term I was unfamiliar with, that she is demisexual. Do you guys know what demisexual
is? She only has sex with Demi Moore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's find out.
I suppose my friends, most of them that had spiritual sex, it would have been very casual and very random. It would have been with different spirits. But that's not the type of person I am. I'm also demisexual.
Demisexual are people who can only enjoy sex with people they are emotionally committed to.
Oh.
So no random sex.
I see.
But by the way, Amanda, who is not an unattractive older woman, if I remember correctly from the piece I read, has been married 5 times previously. With 6 children from her 5 marriages.
Wow, she's tired of men.
She's no stranger to love. So maybe that's where some of this is coming from. Is
she
after
hates
5
herself
divorces.
Some men.
Yep. Yeah, she's thinking, I got it. There must be something better out there.
So for me, having that strong connection and that attachment was very important before embarking on any kind of a sexual relationship. So I had talked to Jack about that, and then he was like, well, you know, we can get married. Actually, it wasn't as difficult as I thought. There is a registrar. There has to be verbal consent on both parts. It wouldn't be acceptable for me to give consent on behalf of Jack because then it's really like me answering for him.
Right,
we had to go and try and source a medium who could connect with Jack. This is my wedding ring and his is the same. We got matching wedding rings. We had a candle representing him and I put the ring on the candle. So that's how we managed that one.
So they got married on a pirate ship in international waters because apparently there are a number of countries in the world that recognize ghost marriages as legal.
What?
Stop it.
And she speaks to her husband through a medium. One more clip, by the way, and this is what I call her drop the mic moment, where she has a comment for all the haters who just think she's crazy.
If you're an atheist and you believe in nothing, fair enough. But if you believe in God, then I don't see why you don't believe in what's happened to me, because there's no more evidence to support God's existence than there is Jack Teague's existence. It is just a matter of faith.
So, boom, ladies and gentlemen, Amanda. It's a matter of faith.
I love the sexy music choice.
It's crazy, right? I do hope it works out for Amanda and Jack.
Right, I'd hate to see a 6th divorce.
Well, because don't want that, do we? I think we have some exciting news about the Kevin Bean Billboard campaign to unveil in just a few minutes. Didn't we sort of kind of nail one down?
Kind of? I think so.
We might actually have a location for our one and only billboard.
Pretty
excited about that. That's coming up. First, though, you're the big Lakers fan, Kevin. Even though you didn't grow up here, you've been a Lakers fan for life, right?
Yep.
When Lonzo Ball is playing, is he as good as the amount of press that he gets?
No.
Okay.
No, he's not.
If he had not been hurt, if he had not been out with the sprained left MCL, would he have been selected to represent the Lakers in the All-Star game?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
So this is a tremendous amount of hype for an average player, it sounds like.
Yes, pretty much.
He was not played in the All-Star game, nor were any of the other Lakers, but Lonzo Ball did have an autograph session at the Puente Hills Mall in the City of Industry over the weekend. He was charging $199 a pop for autographs. For a guy who has made a very insignificant contribution to the NBA. That's a lot of dough to ask, isn't it?
I don't know that I've heard, you know, Michael Jordan talking about that kind of money.
Yeah. Remarkably, though, over 300 fans showed up to take him up on it, so it was a profitable day. So let's find out what's going on with Lonzo and how he can justify this. Welcome to the Kevin DeBeach Show, sir. How are you?
Yeah, good morning.
300 people show up for $200 each autographs? That's crazy, Lonzo.
It's a little bit, you know, it might seem overpriced to some people, but, you know, I was really fortunate. I was blessed that all my fans showed up.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, you know, really is the one who's branding all this. It was in our BBB pop-up shop, you know, Big Baller Brand.
Mm-hmm.
So he felt, from a marketing standpoint, from a branding standpoint, that I needed to make sure that the price point represented who I was as an athlete.
Now, did all of those 300 people pay that $199, or did some of them kind of get turned off by the price and go away?
You know, I couldn't tell. I was just, you know, at the table for the signing.
Uh-huh.
But it did look like everybody seemed pretty happy to pay that money, you know, to come meet me.
Okay. And we saw that one fan just snapped a photo with his own cell phone, and your representatives got a hold of him and said that he'd have to delete the photo unless he paid you $80 just to take a picture with his phone.
Yeah, I felt bad about that, but, you know, he straight up paid me cash in my pocket. So he handed over, you know, $100 bill, and I actually made change, and so everything was copacetic.
How's the MCL, by the way? You're returning soon, right?
I'm really, really excited, as you may be able to tell, that I'm coming back this Friday.
I mean, you don't sound terribly excited.
I'm so pumped. I'm okay. So geeked this morning. I apologize. I know I had a lot of coffee, so if I'm like a little bit, you know, fast-paced, I apologize, but... Huh. You know, I'm coming back on Friday. It's been a long layoff. I'm really excited. I think I could bring a lot to this Laker team, especially now after the trades with Isaiah and Channing there. It's like, you know, I can push the pace, get them better looks. You know, I'm really, really pumped about that.
So with basketball back on your schedule, I'm hoping that means less time for your awful rap music.
I don't think you need to come at me like that.
What he meant to say, Lonzo, was that he hopes that you have the time to fit in this fantastic rap career.
You know, I have been in the studio. I'm really excited to release my EP. I'm almost as excited as I am to return to the Lakers. I've just been working really hard on making sure that I express myself and, you know, kick my art out there to the people. And it's hot. You know what I'm saying?
Now, we've heard one song, and it's about your dad, LeVar. Do you mind if I just play a tiny clip of that?
Please do. It'd be my pleasure.
Okay.
Ever since a child, your boy been a star. Light skin, colored eyes, I've always looked apart. People looking crazy, asking, is it hard? I just laugh, because I know they talking about LeVar. Okay. Y'all can hate him, that's my pops, though. First one that's there for me once it got cold.
All right, so that's you talking about LeVar.
The energy level, Lonzo. I mean, it's like you're your own hype man.
Yeah, it's through the roof.
Sometimes I blow my voice out, you know, because I just get in there, and people be like, hey, is that little John in there?
Right.
Yelling.
Right. But, you know, now, I understand we have some more tape, Kevin, from the forthcoming Lonzo Ball mixtape.
Yeah, if you don't mind me playing it.
I know I sent over some clips. Guys, I really can't thank you enough for playing my music, but, you know, check it out.
All right, here we go.
Yo. Went to see Black Panther with Kyle Kuzma. Did the popcorn trick on Kyle Kuzma.
Oh.
Put my dong inside the popcorn cup.
Yeah, we know how that works.
And then I asked Kyle Kuzma if he wants some. Then he touched my dong. And then we both laughed. But then it got uncomfortable because we locked eyes. And I was like, dude, did you like that as much as I did? And he gave me a look like maybe I did. But we can't tell nobody in the locker room because I touched your dong. But it was an accident. I thought I was eating popcorn. And I was like, well, I kind of put it in there on purpose. So it's like, don't ask, don't tell when it comes to the popcorn trick.
It's a pretty good trick.
Talk about the popcorn trick before.
Put your dong in the popcorn.
We know how it works.
You guys get it?
It's
kind of esoteric.
It's not esoteric, really. It's the popcorn trick.
All right, that one was not for me. Maybe there's something else on the album I like.
Check this next track.
Lonzo, Big Baller Brand. You know this. When life gives you lemons, don't make lemonade. make lemon juice. It's better for your health, cause lemonade's got sugar in it, and it will make you fat. And who wants to be real fat? Be thin. And lemon juice cleans out your kidneys. That seems like a better idea. And it's delicious. It's a little bit tart, though. You kind of make a funny face when you have lemon juice. Don't eat a lot of sugar. Huh. Makes your blood sugar and your insulin go crazy.
Is that song finished?
Are you kidding me? It's poetic, you know. I mean, this last track, you know, is one that I'm most proud of.
Okay.
And I really want you guys to pay close attention because, you know, I invested a lot into it.
Okay. All right, we will. Here we go.
Big Baller Brand. You know how it is. I'm about to spit fire. My dad's a dick. Seriously.
Uh-oh.
I can't get away from him faster. I hate my dad, but I think I have like Stockholm Syndrome or Oslo Syndrome or some syndrome from some type of Scandinavian country. But seriously, my dad's a dick. He won't leave me alone. And he's always on ESPN talking all this mess. And I can't live up to his ridiculous expectations. And I'm just set to fail all because my dad is a giant dick. Do you get my message? This is kind of like a help me message. Right. So I hope this track gets out there and someone comes and rescues me. And my brothers. And my sister, who I think's a cheerleader. My dad's a dick. Like a giant one. He's not nice at all.
Right.
It's not just an act. Like, he's really exploitative, if that's a word. Yeah, fire. Fire. Hey, yeah, fam. My dad's a dick. Seriously. Right. No, my dad's like a giant. Like, he's ruining my life. For reals. I feel like a hostage. But I love him at the same time. It's weird. I mean, is that just a genetic thing, or do you think, like I've grown to love him through enculturation? Nature or nurture, you know what I'm saying? Chicken and egg argument. It's crazy. All right, I gotta go.
Lots of us working through some stuff.
Oh, stay where you are. We'll send help immediately.
I. Thanks, guys.
Huntington Beach, Back to the Beach is the concert weekend that will be announced here on the Kevin and Bean Show in about 20 minutes or so. Our old friend, our oldest and dearest friend in the world, Travis Barker, stops by with his good friend John Feldman, who we love as a writer, musician, producer. They're going to be announcing all the details you need to know for Back to the Beach coming up in minutes. You don't want to miss that here on K-Rock.
Got to tell you, the Kevin and Bean billboard is coming along.
Yeah?
Really making some progress.
I think so, too. I think it's making progress on two fronts. One is, I think we've narrowed down the billboards that we have to choose from our own billboard.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I should say, why are we making such a big deal about the one billboard? Because we haven't had a billboard in over 20 years since we've been doing this show. And all of a sudden, K-Rock got the opportunity to put up tons of billboards all over Southern California. How many, Kevin? Do you remember? A couple of hundred?
I don't, but it was a couple of hundred. And I remember thinking, hey, how many are for us? And the answer was none.
The answer was a big, fat goose egg. Not one Kevin and Bean billboard. So then we started talking about that.
But we see billboards for every other morning show, and it seems to help.
Yes.
No.
Yes. If there's one thing you should know about being in radio is that commercials work, okay? Advertising reaches people. Not for the Kevin and Bean show, apparently. So anyway, so we started talking about that, and we narrowed it down to let's get a billboard. At least that way we have one and we can promote it and people can go by and take pictures of it, and that'll be our ad campaign. And yesterday we thought we had one nailed down, but then apparently it got sold because, you know, we basically are just trying to steal an empty billboard somewhere. So we're still working on that.
But we feel like if there's a billboard that has been not used for a while, that's mm-hmm. the kind yeah. we want, because then it'll stay up because no one's really that interested.
Exactly.
Maybe it's a movie that came out last September, October, November.
Like Suicide Squad. If you see a Suicide right. Squad billboard, right. that's the one we should be putting our stuff up
Boom.
On.
Right. No one's trying to put something new on that.
So that was thing one, was our own billboard, and we still think that's going to happen, and we're still working behind the scenes. But thing two is even more remarkable, because this didn't have anything to do with us. This had to do with our listeners hearing our pleas for advertising and saying, I'm going to help you, Kevin and Bean. And the first one was Ryan in Long Beach, who put up a little sign, just a little handwritten sign that he, you know, to advertise the Kevin and Bean show, 106.7, K-Rock, mornings, Monday through Friday. And he put it up at his house in a window. And we saw that and we thought, that's unbelievable now, that I mean, somebody would go to the effort to do that for us.
Now, I mean, the window was far enough from the street that you pretty much couldn't see it, but...
But only the mailman could read it. That's the only person who gets close enough to that window.
The effort was there, and maybe the mailman would be a new convert.
Right, exactly. So we thanked Ryan for that on the air, and I can't believe how many people since, and businesses too, by the way, like we talked to Van Nuys High School last week about their big marquee, I can't believe how many people on their own have gone to the trouble of putting up a little sign to advertise the Kevin and Bean Show. I mean, it is so unbelievably heartwarming.
The latest two were the Santa Fe Springs Swap Meet. Mm-hmm. They put it on their billboard. It says, listen to Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Nice.
And a guy in Ireland who put up a sign in his window, and he said, I'm not sure how much foot traffic there is, how many people are going to see this sign, but he did put it in his window, and then he took two other pictures, one showing the view from out the window, and there isn't a person in sight.
No, there's like acres and acres of property.
Yeah. And then he takes a picture from acres and acres away, and you can barely see the house. So in that particular one, it's the thought that counts. Mm-hmm.
We are huge with cows in Ireland, though, right? If they happen to roam through his front yard.
And there was a police officer that put this in his window of his police car. And it says, you can thank K-Rock 106.7, Kelvin and Dean for your speeding ticket. Is that a positive or a negative?
I don't think you want that.
We don't want to be blamed for the speeding ticket.
You aren't. It's Kelvin and Dean.
It is Kelvin and
Dean. You're good.
Right.
Now, that listener, Kyle, who posted that on Instagram, is he the police officer, do you think? Okay. Kyle, Kelvin and Dean, thank you for that. Why didn't we think of that? I love it. It's kind of micro-advertising because none of these photos or pictures are going to have much of a reach. Like Maricel, for instance, who reached us on Twitter, and she put a little post-it note, just taped it to the back of her laptop. So if she's sitting at a Starbucks and you look at her laptop, you'll just see a little tiny piece of paper that says, Kevin and Bean, Monday through Friday, 5 to 10 a.m., K-Rock 106.7. I mean, look.
She's doing more than our company is, so why not?
She certainly is.
Absolutely.
You're not going to reach a lot of people, but you're going to reach more people than K-Rock is. K-Rock doesn't acknowledge that they have a morning show.
I'm not positive.
At least Maricel knows we're on the air.
I'm not positive they know we're still on, Bean.
Constance is a listener who reached out to us also on Twitter, and she took the picture that we tweeted out of the artwork that we want to use from Ali Siegel, the tremendous artwork of Kevin and Bean with braces. She actually printed that out at home and then taped it on the inside of the back window of her vehicle.
So everywhere she goes, she's advertising.
She's advertising. It's like she created her own bumper sticker on the back of her car, which is just amazing. And there are so many stories like this that people have done. And we cannot thank you enough. And continue to send them to us, and we'll continue to spread the word as much as we can.
You can check them out at the Kevin and Bean Instagram, at Kevin and Bean. Travis Barker and John Feldman coming up just after the top of the hour to tell us about a new festival, a new beach festival that we think you're going to be very excited about.
Sounds good. Allie, what's happening here on this Wednesday morning?
If there's video of Liam Gallagher, I'm watching it. If there's video of Liam Gallagher with children, I can't wait to click on that. There's a music TV channel called Noisy, and they got a group of kids together with former Oasis frontman Liam Gallagher, and the results are delightful. Liam tells the kids to ask him anything, and it started off innocent enough.
What's your favorite Disney movie?
I like Finding Nemo. What's your one?
Beauty and the Beast.
Nice.
All right, just sharing, finding out a little bit about each other. Wonderful.
Do the kids know who Liam Gallagher is? Are they familiar with Oasis at their age?
One of the little girls did say she loved the song Oasis, and he kept explaining to her, well, that's the band name. What song do you love? And she's like, Oasis. And he's like, yeah, right, but that's the band. And he's trying to explain it. Then finally he gives up. But of course, it didn't take long for these kids to bring up the subject of his brother, Noel.
Sure.
What instrument do you play?
I don't play instruments. I just sing. But I had a brother who played the guitar.
I know his name, Noel.
Oh, yeah, he's naughty. He's naughty. And he's not much bigger than you, actually. Yeah, what shoe size are you?
11A.
Yeah, I think he's about 11A.
So just any chance he gets to take a swipe at his brother, I kind of appreciate that.
They've been doing that since they were little boys.
Yes, unbelievable. But then it takes a turn because it's a kid and you're gonna bring up gas.
Mm.
What's your favorite part?
My favorite what?
My favorite
fart. Oh, there's got to be the loud ones. Loud ones, loud farts. And I want people to know when I farted, you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Because you're proudly behind, you know what I mean? When it's silent and that, sometimes they take credit for it, but you want it to just tear the house down, don't you?
You want it to what? Tear the house
tear
down?
Tear the house down. He does not want people taking credit for his farts if they're silent.
Who in administration okayed Liam Gallagher with the kids, by the way?
Give him a raise. Right? That's all I'm saying. But then it gets really personal. Kevin, you know this because you're a huge soccer fan.
Okay.
But my God, Brits and their football teams,
crazy.
They are nuts. So it starts getting football with Man United, who you like, that type of thing.
I support Man United.
They're rubbish. I support Manchester City. Someone told me you were nice kids.
We're evil kids.
You lost against Liverpool. Can we edit that bit out?
We support Manchester.
This is a nightmare.
He's asking to edit out where a kid said that they just lost to Liverpool. It is unbelievably adorable video. It's on krock.com if you want to check that out. Adorable. Not sure if you heard about this yesterday, but a picture came out of the cast of Red Sparrow. That's Jennifer Lawrence and Joel Edgerton, Jeremy Irons. And they are promoting the movie in London. And all the men seem to be dressed for what appeared to be weather in the 40s.
Okay.
Got coats, scarves, everything. And then Jennifer Lawrence is in this gorgeous black gown, but exposed shoulders, little slit up the leg. And people lost their minds. Saying things like this. True equality means either Jennifer Lawrence gets a coat or Jeremy Irons having to pose for a photo call in assless chaps. This is so quietly depressing and revealing because it's freezing outside. And then my favorite was this woman that said, also, who knows how many other things she's already said no to. This is the stuff that gets you branded difficult.
What is happening?
Not everything is a freaking controversy, people.
Plus, Jennifer Lawrence is at a place in her career where she could have said no easily to that.
So she busted out this statement. I'm going to read the whole thing.
Good.
Because it's perfection.
She always handles these things perfectly.
100%. So here's what she said. Wow. I don't really know where to get started on this Jennifer Lawrence wearing a revealing dress in the cold controversy. This is not only utterly ridiculous, I'm extremely offended. That Versace dress was fabulous. You think I'm going to cover that gorgeous dress up with a coat and scarf? I was outside for 5 minutes. I would have stood in the snow for that dress because I love fashion and that was my choice. This is sexist, this is ridiculous, and this is not feminism. Overreacting about everything someone says or does, creating controversy over silly, innocuous things, such as what I chose to wear or not wear, is not moving us forward. It's creating silly distractions from real issues. Get a grip, people. Everything you see me wear is my choice. And if I want to be cold, that's my choice, too.
USA! USA!
Right? I got a boner. I mean, what is wrong with people? Like, come on. Equality? Because she's wearing a dress. Oh, she was made to wear that dress. Look how sexist this movie is.
Do they know what the movie's about, even?
It doesn't even matter.
But it should. Okay.
It's insanity.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of... If you complain about things that aren't things,
yeah,
then people don't pay attention to the things that are things.
Allie, I didn't know.
Hold on.
What?
Kevin.
What?
Say it again for the people in the back.
If you complain about things that aren't things,
uh-huh,
people won't pay attention to things that are things. What?
Yeah!
Did I say it wrong?
No.
Oh, okay.
Kevin, it was brilliant.
It wasn't brilliant.
That came from your noggin, and I want to make sure people heard it.
Kevin probably read it someplace.
Thank you.
I think. Yes, I agree with you as well on that, Kevin. And by the way, Allie, I didn't click on it, but didn't Jennifer Lawrence have a bad time in Britain overall? Didn't she get involved in some other controversy on the BAFTAs where somebody thought that she had slighted a British actress and people were demanding she be
kicked out of the Academy or something like that. Did you see that story?
I didn't.
Oh, you gotta look into that. She made some sort of joke on stage about a British actress, and people were crazy offended with her, calling her rude and a spoiled brat. I don't know the details of the story, but she probably can't wait to get out of England after all the controversy that seems to be swirling around her.
Right? There are few, those people.
There are few people who you can almost always say, I'm going to take her side because she seems to really have it together.
Yeah, for sure. I enjoy her.
And
very
as young
much.
As she is, and as successful and popular as she has had to absorb a lot.
Yeah, agreed.
At her age. And she does always handle it with such class. I agree. And not hard to look at. Just as an aside.
That's sexist.
I'm saying everything about her is awesome, including, my
You're
God, is she
about
pretty.
All Same the stuff
Joel
she
Edgerton,
has to
though.
Absorb.
Same with Joel Edgerton.
It's just, it's gross. MGM is in talks with one of our favorite people to direct the upcoming 25th James Bond movie, of course, starring Daniel Craig as 007.
Can I guess?
I would love for you to.
These nuts, bitch.
It is shockingly not these nuts, bitch.
Bobo.
I wish it was. It is not Bobo. Anything else?
Flavor!
Oh, no, but that would be nice. A nice twist to James Bond.
That would be cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, the original boy wonder, Burt Ward, of course.
It is not Burt Ward.
Jesus
is not available for
Fergie.
Fergie might be available.
She's not very available.
Not a lot happening. He is not. He's still with the Dodgers.
Okay.
Yeah. Britney Spears. Nope.
Boba Fett.
It's Bobo Fett. No.
What about an emotional support squirrel?
Huh?
That would be quite...
That would be something.
Quite a reach. I'd watch that, maybe.
Hi, it's Kat.
Kat Corbett is not going to be directing 007.
Federal Bureau of Investigation Special Agent Dale Cooper.
Peggy Noonan.
No.
Fredson. No.
Vin Diesel.
No, none of the above.
Prince Larry.
No. Prince Larry? Nope.
Apparently. No?
Uh-uh.
Jesus Christ, that's Jason Bourne.
It is not Jason Bourne. Do you want me just to tell you?
Sure.
All right.
Depeche Mode.
It is not.
Is it Depeche Mode?
Nope, nor is it Depeche Mode. It is one of our favorites. I'll give you a couple hints. Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh.
Trainspotting.
Oh.
127 Days.
You're talking Danny Boyle.
I'm talking Danny Boyle,
you
guys.
I love Danny Boyle.
So apparently he's the front runner.
How about that? I like it. I like it very much.
So much heroin,
that's
right?
I don't think he puts heroin in every movie.
He should.
Yeah, James Bond will be vomiting in an ugly toilet at
right?
some point during that film.
Baby on the ceiling. All sorts of good stuff. Maybe I will watch my first James Bond movie.
Don't get crazy.
Allie, that's absurd and insane and ridiculous. And you love Daniel Craig, right?
I do. He's wonderful.
How have you not seen any of his four James Bond movies?
Again, very busy, you guys.
Not that busy.
Very busy.
Okay.
Some birthdays for you. Actress Sophie Turner, Ashley Green, Ellen Page, Jennifer Love Hewitt, actor-director Jordan Peele, and one of our favorite people. He's a comic. He's an actor. He's a writer. He's a podcast host. And now he's an Oscar nominee with The Big Sick. Kumail Nanjiani, happy birthday. And that's what's happening.
I love Car Chases so much.
I know you do.
I love him.
Hey, let me just say this. John Feldman is here. Travis Barker will be here in moments. We'll bring the guys in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show to announce the details on the Back to the Beach Festival in HB, which I think you guys are going to love. So stick around for that. Kevin, you bring up Car Chases because there was another one yesterday. I think there were two yesterday. One really got a lot of attention. And you got to give it up for our listeners who reach out to you as soon as they see one come up on their TV, right?
A bunch of people tweet me and say, hey, turn on Channel 9 right now. There's a great car chase.
And I'm the guy. That's Kevin. He loves car chases. Yeah. He has an alert. He can't wait to get home and watch them all. I'm the guy who hates them. I hate, first of all, that they exist because it's a horrible, terrible thing for anyone to do. But I more hate the media for covering them. I think it's absurd. And
I would watch it for 4 hours straight.
And it's not news. But I will tell you this, Kevin. Your argument has been for many years, one of the reasons you enjoy car chases is because you never know what's going to happen. And you sometimes see things you've never seen before.
Yeah.
And that was the case with yesterday's chase when a car drove into an underground train tunnel. It drove into the Metro Gold Line train track.
Now, how genius or crazy terrible... is that idea?
It's terrible because they know you're in there. They have helicopters above you. You can't get away inside the depot where the trains are.
You have a better.
You can't escape from it.
I feel like you would have a better chance.
But they know you're going to have to cut. Unless you live there, they know you're coming out the other side at one point.
Tunnel, a hidden tunnel.
Yeah, maybe he's a mole person.
Right?
You don't know, he's a mole person.
we want to hear from you if you saw any or all of this car chase yesterday in Boyle Heights. It went to a bunch of places. But you can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067 because we do want to break it down for the rest of us. Christine, assistant producer Christine, you were watching with glee yesterday.
Oh, my God. You guys, it was so good. I
now,
love
what
him
made
too.
It so good?
Well, I think first of all, you never want anyone to get hurt, right? That's
right.
The first thing.
Agreed.
He did T-bone a taxi, so that wasn't good.
Okay.
Wasn't
He was driving at 120 miles on the 60. That wasn't good.
Okay,
oh
right.
Gosh.
But then he goes into the Gold Line tunnel. And then a jogger jogs by, and everybody's freaking out. Like, they thinking that jogger
might be
the dude. And I thought, that's the most genius guy ever.
He just all of a sudden turns up jogging right past the cops.
And so the cops are looking at him, and I was watching on Facebook Live because I was out with friends. And everyone's like, are you seriously? We're out, and you're watching a car chase on your phone? And I was like, yes, this
absolutely.
Is the right thing to do, right? So we are watching it. All I could see is everyone, including me, are texting Stu Mundell, our buddy in the helicopter. Mm-hmm. Like, Stu, you guys, it's the jogger. You got to stop the jogger.
Check the jogger, Stu. Don't be
so
an idiot.
Wait, let me understand this. Was this after the car had driven into the train track
depot? After it drove into the train track, the Gold Line Metro depot, nothing happened for like a long time. And the tension was building so much. Like, where did they go? You couldn't see anything, and it was so exciting
because mole people,
mole people
down there with the Ninja Turtles. Like,
right.
So
Duh.
Much could have been happening.
We're talking about real life here, Allie.
Oh,
yeah. Let's take a phone call. Let's talk to Ryan, who's calling us. Hi, from Carson. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, morning, guys.
So, where were you yesterday for the big car chase?
All right, so I'm a bartender down at the JW Marriott at LA Live, right across from Staples Center.
Right.
Everybody in the bar last night is watching the Olympics. They're doing their thing. I'm working. And then right in the middle, I mean, we get a high-speed chase, and everybody in my bar is like, what the heck's going on? Us in the bar, we're happy we get some real entertainment.
Right? So forget the Olympics. There's something happening here.
I mean, I don't want to watch any more figure skating and curling. And I didn't even know there was a difference.
Easy on the curling, Ryan.
Figure skating and ice dancing are the same. Why do we watch this?
Okay, I think we're getting a little bit off topic here. So you turn on the car chase. So what's it like in a bar situation? Are people just riveted to it? Are they rooting for the guy? Are they betting on it? What's happening?
Everyone at our bar sitting down is like, why is this on TV?
What?
We behind the bar are placing bets on, is it going to be a wreck? Are they going to run? Are they getting out?
Is it going to be a pit maneuver?
Every day, this is an everyday thing for us. So this is, I think, the most exciting thing in Los Angeles on TV, reality TV. This is the reality.
I agree.
Okay. Yes. All right. Thank you for the call, Ryan. I appreciate it very much. Kevin, you must know Ryan if he's working the bar there across at LA Live.
I don't know.
He's got to be pals. So how did it end? Did they end up going into the tunnel, or did he eventually emerge?
I can't remember the order, but the guy came out eventually, and it was so weird seeing the aerial view of the tracks and the guys apprehending someone walking out of a dark tunnel.
That's weird.
And I think they said, and this is what I was confused about, because they were talking about the jogger, and then they were saying the girl was emerging from the tunnel, but the next time when I looked up, it was the guy in handcuffs. So I don't know if they came out together, but I think they got them both out of the tunnel eventually.
Hey, real quick before we say goodbye, let's say hi to Jesse, Los Angeles Line 3, please. Jesse has something you'll appreciate very much, guys.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, guys.
So you watch this?
So when it's a family tradition for us.
That's my man, Jesse.
No, this is like the one time me and my parents have like fond memories.
So oh, my God.
We text each other. We call each other. Hey, come to the living room. It's a car chase. We are like smiling. And
that's fantastic.
We're cheering the guy on, and we were hoping that somehow he kind of blended into the crowd
right
under the tunnel, and he kind of just got away. But
that.
So
that
somebody who T-bones a taxi and goes 120 miles an hour in the 60, you and your family are there rooting for him to get away with it. No consequences.
Yeah, moles.
Right?
Moles, right. He there you go. Jesse, everybody, thanks for calling. Travis Barker just has his own key card here at K-Rock. He can come and go as he pleases, right? Just let himself in.
Yeah, I was really stoked about my own parking space out there. That was really nice.
Yeah, congratulations, Travis. You're now officially a full-time employee because you don't have enough jobs. Travis is back. We talked to him very recently with the announcement of his Muzink Festival coming up next month. But he is here today with his good friend, Feldy. John Feldman joins him in studio.
Good morning. Hi.
Great to see you, Feldy, singer, guitarist, producer, songwriter. He does it all, and I feel like I know you just because of how much Stryker talks about you here on K-Rock.
Oh, I love that man. He is a good, good man.
He's a good man. Well, he loves you as well. Travis, tell me about this relationship with you and Feldy. How far back does it go?
You know...
Get a little closer to the mic, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, in the Aquabats, when I was touring in the Aquabats, we were an opening band for Goldfinger. And at the time, he would, like... you know, invite me on the bus.
He would.
At first, I was kind of afraid that he might have, you know. No, I'm just kidding.
No, you didn't know what his intentions were.
Afraid, no, but no,
my intentions were real.
I guess he kind of like big bro'd me, you know, sort of, and you know, showed me the ropes. And I was touring in a van with the Aquabats. We had like 12 people in our van. So once in a while, I would come, you know, hang out on their bus, listen to music. He would invite me on stage to play a couple
songs. And you would
think,
this is the big time. This is what I want to do.
This is amazing. I have a place to sleep. And we would just listen to music and talk about the Descendants and all of our favorite bands. And, like I said, play a couple songs with them live.
And then 20 years later, he's producing your Blink-182 album.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Really,
that's
awesome.
Crazy. That's a crazy full circle.
Yeah.
And Feldy, did you always know that Blink was going to make it?
No. We played so many shows with Blink, and like Blink was always super funny, but we toured a lot with Blink before they had Travis, and they were really great. The songs were always great, but mm-hmm. But until they got Travis, I couldn't see the full picture. But
nobody could have predicted they would end up being one of the biggest rock bands in the world either, right?
Well, when Travis joined, it was pretty obvious, because when I remember playing the Barn in Riverside, and Travis was in his Aquabats outfit, like literally crowd surfing, handing out flyers. I was watching him handing out flyers on top of the crowd for the Aquabats in his full outfit,
man,
with the whole thing. So I knew that he was driven even before I even heard him play drums. But then when they were supporting Goldfinger, he would play and I'd be like, I've never seen a better drummer than this kid. He was he's a kid back then, you know?
As an A&R guy for a long time, discovering a lot of bands, trying to bring bands to labels and stuff like that, do you start to question your judgment because you think this band is going to make it and it doesn't, and then you think this other band isn't and it does?
I mean, look, I've been doing it for so long with a handsome face like Travis.
Right?
Like you always bet on that. You always go there.
Now, John, we're going to make the announcement the Back to the Beach here in just a minute, but just for a little background, I mentioned all of the hats you wear with the singing and the songwriting and the playing music and the producing and everything like that, and you've worked with so many bands. But has Goldfinger been a constant for you? Is that a band? Did you guys ever take a break, or have you been together all the way back from the 90s?
You know, we took a little bit of a break, but, I mean, to be honest, it's a way for me to connect with kids that are still really, like, in the pit at every show ever, to be able to talk to kids about music and what they're listening to. And, you know, a year ago, Travis, you know, brought me on Muzink and played drums, and it was arguably the best show looking behind me to see the best drummer on the planet playing drums, you know, for
way
songs.
Too kind.
Yeah, well, I mean, for real. And it's like his energy. I've always have been a high energy front man, but you know, I'm 50 now. It's like, how many PAs can I jump off of? How many people can I head walk on at 50 with my kids going, "Dad, what are you doing?
Stop it. What's wrong with you?"
Well, we're going to play the new Goldfinger song in a couple of minutes here, and people are going to freak out when they hear how great it is. But let's talk about the reason you are here. The announcement of the Back to the Beach Festival at Huntington State Beach in Southern California, the world's most famous beach. Tell us all about it, you guys.
Well, I had an idea. You know, we were on tour with NoFX last year, and I just had an idea. I mean, the first show I ever saw was the English Beat at the Greek up in Berkeley. I grew up in the Bay Area, and ska music has changed my life since I was a kid. I've always been into, you know, second wave, two-tone, madness specials, mm-hmm. you know, and I was like, I've never been to a festival that's just all feel-good music. And being in L.A. now since 1987, like, I signed Real Big Fish. Like, it's in my blood. I'm in a ska punk band, and I hit up Travis. Travis, who was in the Aquabats, a seminal ska punk band. I said, we should do something that no one has done before. And John Reese, our friend, had an idea to do it on the beach in Huntington, like the epicenter of ska punk for me, you know, Orange County, and Travis was in.
Is it difficult as people who are going to put together a festival to get a place like Huntington Beach?
Yeah, I had nothing to do with it, but I'm sure it was really hard.
Somebody works hard on it.
Somebody.
Yeah, we come up with ideas, even with Muse Inc. or even this, and John Reese is just...
He's the one that makes it happen.
He's a facilitator, yeah, right.
He's a hustler. He's great.
Back to the Beach is going to be Saturday, April 28th, and Sunday, April 29th, at the Huntington Beach in Southern California, as we mentioned. Tickets are going on sale this Friday, February 23rd, at 10 a.m. at backtothebeachfest.com. Backtothebeachfest.com. All right, who wants to unveil the lineup for night number one, or day number one, I should say, for Saturday, April 28th?
All right, I'll do Saturday, April 28th. We have 311, the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, the Aquabats, Hepcat, Less Than Jake, Mad Caddies, the Suicide Machines, Big D and the Kids Table, and more.
Yeah.
How about
that?
Here's something.
That's going to be fun, you guys.
That's amazing. That's Saturday, April 28th. That's just a taste. Yes, Ellie?
First of all, great bands, but Hepcat? Oh, yeah. Seriously, you guys?
One of the
best. Yeah. Awesome.
Such style. That band has style.
Oh.
All right, that's April 28th.
Yep. April 28th.
Right, Feldy, roll out to the lineup for Sunday, April 29th, please.
April 29th is Sublime with Rome, Goldfinger featuring Travis Barker.
What?
Fishbone, all original lineup. And just real quick, I mean, the best live band to me of all time. Oh. Best live band of all time, Fishbone.
Angelo's magic.
Angelo, I've never seen a guy be that. He's like a gymnast.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really, yeah. He's incredible. Save Ferris, The Interrupters, which is, you know, to me, the best fourth wave ska band around. Yeah. Mustard Plug, The Agrolites, The Untouchables, and more.
Than the eyes of most. When I wake up tomorrow, you have changed, cause I still feel the same.
Audiate from zero, every movement starring you, and the world will turn to stone.
I mean, come on.
Seriously.
We're going to have a weekend. Saturday, April 28th and Sunday, April 29th, Huntington State Beach in Southern California. Tickets go on sale this Friday, February 23rd at 10 a.m. backtothebeachfest.com. By the way, there's regular tickets and then also VIP lounge tickets and so much more that we're going to take a break and come back and talk about. You got a Carnival Midway. You got beach games. You got all sorts of other stuff going on that weekend. We'll find out what else is going on with Travis Barker and John Feldy Feldman when we return on K-Rock.
Come on, right?
Makes me want to go out to the beach, but it's pretty cold today.
Yeah. Real big fish on horns on that song, by the way.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
That is the voice of John Feldman here on the Kevin DeBean Show, along with his good friend Travis Barker. I guess on that song, half of Goldfinger, right? I mean, you guys are two of the four on that song,
That's
right?
Absolutely right on that one, yes.
It had been a while since there had been new Goldfinger music. How did this all come together, John?
I moved to the Valley about 7 years ago, which was challenging at first. But then Travis kind of convinced me to live close to him in Calabasas, or as my friend Caleb calls it from Ohio, Calabasas.
Sure.
What he thought. He's like, such a lovely city you live in here in Calabasas. I'm like, I don't think. Actually, I like that name better. So I'm going to, Calabasas. And we hang out a lot. We work out. And he's got these crazy trainers. And when I train with him, it's just like I still can't walk from 2 days. Like, last week, dude, literally. But like we just been doing a lot of music together. We're developing this band called The Fever 333, this kind of modern Rage Against the Machine kind of thing. So he's at my house playing drums a lot. And to be honest, he really motivated me to make another record. It's been 10 years. And like wow. I was talking to you during the break, I try and write a song every day.
All right,
you
let's
know?
Talk about that for okay. a second. So you have written songs for who? Give us a list of some of the people that you've written for.
Biffy Clyro, Blink 182, 5 Seconds of Summer, All Time Low, Sleeping with Sirens, Black Veil Brides.
You're very prolific.
I mean, for me, it's like therapy. A lot of it is, you know, dealing with life on life's terms can be challenging some days. Yeah. And, you know, having kids and, you know, being in a band my whole life, I started playing music at 12. You know, it's like, and now I'm kind of gone over the other side of producing and kind of signing artists, but I still need to have that part of me, you know, out there. And so I try and write a song every day.
I was talking about this a week ago or so, and everybody was making fun of me, but I tried to write a song thinking, I love music, and how hard can it be? And it was impossible. Like, I'm really fascinated by somebody who can write a new song every single day.
They're not all great. I mean,
did it take you so long to do your own because it's such a different vibe than putting something for like a 5 Seconds of Summer? You know what you're going for with them, but it's so deeply personal with you.
You know, it is challenging, as you know, if I'm writing for an 18-year-old kid.
Yeah. Sure.
I'm a 50-year-old man with two kids to kind of like connect the dots. But internally, I still honestly feel like I'm 20, you know, and I was thinking about like Rodney on the Rocks compilations, and they were so influential to me as a kid, and how all that music is now, like the Police were probably my all-time, you know, favorite band, you know, and so having that come full circle and doing the Ska Festival is so epic. The K-Rock plays such a big role in my, you know, when I was a kid listening to music.
Yeah.
You recorded this album in how long, John?
We did it in 3 days. Travis came and played drums in 3 hours. I had most of the songs kind of written, and Travis just came and, you know, made it what it became. But it was really like we tried to do something because I work in pop music so much where everything's to the grid. Mm-hmm. Everything has to be edited perfectly. And we just made a record that I used to make back in the 90s, which was just kind of like no editing. I tune my vocals a lot because I don't have my voice. I definitely used auto-tune to his advantage, but with Travis, I didn't do anything to Travis.
No, because Travis could just show up and do it in that amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Travis is, I mean, because we work on so many different projects together, it's like he can do, I mean, anything. Like, I don't know anyone that plays punk rock as good as Travis. Nobody in the world to me. And, you know, the hip-hop stuff that he does is legendary. So I mean,
Travis, is there any type of music that you find difficult? Because you seem to fit in every music genre.
Can you play jazz?
I love jazz.
Can you play it?
I grew up playing it. The easiest thing about this Goldfinger album is that I didn't know I was recording it at the time.
You didn't know?
I walked into the studio. He said, hey, I'm going to play something for you. It's like an idea for Goldfinger. So I put my headphones on and I sit down. And then he's like, okay, check this out. And then just kept playing songs I kept recording. And then afterwards, he's like, hey, you just recorded the Goldfinger album. You know?
So Travis Barker can be tricked into playing drums on
your
album.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So I had no idea. Or if it was 3 days before and he's like, hey, you're coming in to record the Goldfinger album, I might have been like, I don't know, maybe some jitters, whatever, but I didn't even know I was doing it when I did
That's so funny.
It was kind of the same on Blink, too, with that, like, Built This Pool. Yeah. He'd never heard the song, ever, and I just said, here's the tempo. I gave him a 4-count click, and just play. I said, play it like Descendants, and he just played it, and then the end of the song, I counted.
That's it.
And I said, you're done, and he goes, that's it, at the end of the song.
That was
awesome.
Amazing.
All right.
Oh, here we go.
There you go.
I want to see some naked
Is that how most of your songs are every day?
Well, yeah, I guess if I'm writing a song a day, they're 13 seconds long. Exactly. That's exactly right.
All right. Before we run out of time, let's recap the details and add some new ones for the Back to the Beach Fest. Go to backtothebeachfest.com, and tickets are on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. for this amazing lineup we have just unveiled on Saturday, April the 29th, featuring 311, the Mighty Mighty Bosstones, the Aquabats, Hepcat, Less Than Jake, and more. Sunday night, April 29th, Sublime with Rome, Goldfinger, Fishbone, Safe Errors, the Interrupters, and tons more. Go to the website for the complete lineup. And let's talk about some of the other stuff that's going on, because just like with Musink, Travis, this festival is way more than just music, right?
Yeah, there's like a cool kids zone there. All kids 10 and under get in free, which is really, really awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. There'll be awesome special guests during Goldfinger set. Okay. Yeah, on Sunday.
That's like you? You've got like a carnival.
Well, no, besides me. I'm not really.
Besides you. Okay.
I can't talk about myself like that. That's weird.
I'm awesome. I'm a special guest. Yeah.
Carnival Midway, beach games. You mentioned Little Punk Kid Zone. John, I know you're very much into animal rights. God bless you for that, sir. Serving vegan food at the festival, which is wonderful.
We've got a bunch of vegan trucks. Tons of vegan. Yeah. And we're going to do a scooter ride. We're planning a scooter ride right now from Laguna to Huntington, like at about 100, 150 scooterists. To ride up, which is going to be super fun.
I've never heard the word scooterist before.
I made it up right now.
Yeah, I think that's new.
But I'm going to try and get Travis back on. And we always argue because Quadrophenia was such a big movie for me when I was a kid. You know, the Who movie from the 80s, and it's like we always argue who's Sting in our festival. Like, you know,
I love it. You guys are going to have a scooter gang.
Yeah.
Tickets start at just $39.50 per day. You guys, VIP lounge tickets at $99.50 per day. What's involved in the VIP lounge? Do you know right now, Feldy?
Right now, it's like a meet and greet with bands, you know, photos, and we're still figuring
still
it out.
Still putting it together. Okay, fine.
Well, you got till this Friday at 10 a.m. to decide, because tickets go on sale at backtothebeachfest.com. It really does sound so awesome, you guys. Feldy, I'm so glad we finally had you on the show. Please come back and see us, will you?
Oh, thank you. I love it. Thank you.
And Travis, we'll see you for your regular shift probably next Monday.
Awesome, awesome.
Thanks, Travis. You make fun of a woman that marries a 300-year-old pirate ghost.
I don't.
But she's found love.
I respect
that. Love.
You know? Yeah. It's a beautiful story.
Coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock, along with more tickets for you to see Portugal the Man at the Shrine Auditorium in August and qualify to see them at the Nos Alive Music and Arts Festival in Portugal, even before that, July 13th, including round trip, airfare, and hotel. It's K-Rock Wheels Up 2018, destination number two, Portugal the Man in Portugal in 5 minutes, you guys. 5 minutes from right now. You can win that first. Allie, what's happening?
Great news for Star Wars fans. When Star Wars The Last Jedi comes out on Blu-ray on March 27th, the DVD will have 14 deleted scenes that were not in the finished version of the movie. Ryan Johnson, how long was this movie going to be? For the love.
That's so interesting to me because isn't the final cut that was released at theaters is about 2.5 hours.
It was long, yeah.
The longest
And they actually cut something out?
14 deleted scenes.
They cut this out?
This is why you fail.
That was actually me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I was not in The Last Jedi.
Okay.
Yoda was, if you saw it. Spoiler alert. Oh, you know some a-hole's going to tweet me.
Of course.
How dare you give it away? I haven't seen it. I don't know why he talks like that, but he does, you guys. This is funny, and again, a lot of time on your hands. People want emojis to be anatomically correct, and I'm not talking about, like, eggplant. I'm saying public outcry over the release of a new lobster emoji has designers headed back to the drawing board. Apparently, people weren't happy with the original design because it had only 8 legs instead of 10. Most of the complaints came from the state of Maine.
Are all of the other problems solved in Maine?
Apparently so. And who looked at this first drawing of a lobster and was like, hold up.
8.
Let me count.
Are you kidding me?
Who's counting emoji little legs?
I don't know.
I support it.
Of course you do.
Of course. If you're going to do it, why not do it right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, would you have noticed that there were 8 instead of 10?
No, I am not knowledgeable enough about crustaceans to have caught that. But apparently others are.
Well, 157 new emojis are slated for release this year. So I can't wait for that. Guys, it is good to be either Jay-Z or one of his friends.
Sure.
I think I think we can all agree without even hearing the story. But he helped celebrate a pal's birthday at the New York City nightclub Playroom Sunday night with 40 full-price bottles. Here's where it gets interesting. Of Jay-Z's own Ace of Spades brand champagne. Okay. He wound up buying all 40. The bill came to a little less than $100,000 with an $11,000 tip. Each bottle, by the way, cost $1,200. So you think he's spending a ton of money on this alcohol, but it's all going back to him. So good. However, before they even got to the club, they spent about $13,000 for dinner and drinks, and then another $9,000 at another restaurant for bottles of his own Douce cognac. So he's essentially...
Was this just an advertising night for
him? Yes, he's essentially like, do you like what you're drinking? Cool, I'm paying for it. Also, I'm not paying for it. It's absolutely insane to me. But that night, he spent $100,000, then $13,000, and then another $9,000. If you add that up, that is...
That's what? Allie doesn't do math well.
$122,000?
Say it like you know you're right, and then none of us will challenge it.
Right, because none of
don't
us
make it a question.
$122,000.
Wow, she does sound like she knows what she's talking about, right?
Good stuff. How excited are you about the Monkees heading out on the road?
I'm sorry?
Two of the three surviving members of the Monkees are going to be doing a little tour called The Monkees Present the Mike and Mickey Show, featuring Mike Nesmith and Mickey Dolenz in an evening of songs and stories. Really?
I'm
glad they're not calling it the Monkees.
That happened?
I'm glad they're calling it the Monkees Present, the Mike and Mickey Show, because at what point is it not the Monkees? When there's four of you and two of you are dead, are you still the Monkees? I'm not sure.
Where is the outrage?
Wait, is Peter Tork dead? I think he's alive. I think Davey's the only one that's passed.
Oh, is that it? So Davey's dead and Peter's not in the band. I think Peter died too.
Explain why he's not joining them.
I think two of them died. So I thought in my mind two of them died, but I don't hold me to that.
We'll get you updated for the.
By the way, you say that in every single What's Happening. We never update people.
Why would I?
He is still alive. Sorry,
still alive. Oh, still alive. All just right. Sitting out this tour.
He's
very
70,
busy.
76 years old, but still ticking.
Right? Got a lot of torque left. No?
All right, let's move on.
All right.
Quickly. And hope that people are just turning on the radio right now.
Some birthdays for you. Actress Sophie Turner, Ashley Green, Ellen Page, Jennifer Love Hewitt, actor, director, Oscar nominee himself, Jordan Peele, actor, writer, podcast host, and Oscar nominee, Kumail Nanjiani.
Love him so much.
I love him so much, and I love his wife, Emily Gordon, and I want the Big Sick to win everything it's up for, which I think is only one, but I hope they win it.
Clean sweep of that one.
I will check that and be right back. That's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Hey, Allie.
Yeah.
What's happening? What's happening? What is happening? Allie, what is happening?
He is eager for this report.
You guys, something happened on Twitter yesterday that made me rethink my whole life.
Okay.
What I stand for. Mm-hmm. What I've learned.
Okay.
You know, during Easter, when those... I'm not going to say the word because that's the confusion. Cadbury blank eggs come out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you open them and they've got the yolk and everything in them.
Mm-hmm.
How do you pronounce that word, Cadbury blank egg?
Is it chocolate?
No.
Easter?
No. Come on, it's the name of it. It's a Cadbury blank egg.
I don't think I'm familiar with the name of that product.
Well, just tell us what it is.
Well, I can't you don't know what it is. It's the Cadbury cream egg, right?
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, yeah,
Sounds good.
Okay, well, guess what? It's not pronounced cream.
What?
Cadbury came out yesterday and said, no, it's pronounced as creme.
Oh,
and
suck it.
And people started losing their minds. This woman's like, are you meant to pronounce cream egg as cream or creme? They're like, pronounce as creme. People are losing their minds. So, no, that's ridiculous. No, no, no. They're posting GIFs. And then they said, no, no, it's cream as in team, or is it creme as in them? Cadbury then says, no, it's creme as in them. What aren't you people getting? And then after everybody freaks out, somebody at Cadbury Cream Egg Twitter got the memo and they're like, oh, it's definitely pronounced as cream. With an emoji with the little, like, blush on its face. Like, boy, am I embarrassed.
What? So they lied to us?
They had people in a complete and utter...
Were they just trolling?
No. Whoever was in charge of the Twitter apparently didn't know. And it got really intense.
Where is the outrage?
The outrage was right there online.
What's happening?
But the fact that none of you could figure out Cadbury blank... Really?
No.
I didn't know either. I don't know that I've ever heard the name of that.
Cadbury creme.
No, it's cream egg.
Right. I heard it was creme. I heard a lady say it was creme on the radio.
I heard that too.
Wait, you've never known what it was called? The actual cream egg?
I don't think I've ever heard of the product before. I just did chocolate
it's
egg
the
or Easter egg.
And then
egg.
You open it and it's got the white and then the yellow yolk?
I don't think I've ever had one of those.
Oh my God, what's happening?
I just think Bean hasn't had one of those eggs.
We need to go right now.
Am I the, like, you've had, yeah. like, in every Easter basket with some Peeps and a Cadbury goddamn cream egg.
You Peps, but by the way, they're Peps.
It's Peps.
It's Peps. That much I do know.
Okay. Peps and creme.
Wow, that is, that's shocking. Never seen an episode of Seinfeld and has never had a Cadbury cream egg.
Oh, he
so
saw
sorry.
The final. He did see
he
the
did
final.
See the finale, yes.
Okay, my
so
bad.
It was very good.
Yeah. My bad. CBS.
Well, thank you for bringing us that shocking revelation. We were unaware of that controversy. It but is, I'm glad it was settled.
It is odd that somebody's in charge of their Twitter account for that long
for
and
that
was getting
company.
That kind of response
yes.
for that long and then finally got straightened out.
Someone stepped in and was like, it's
you
cream, Jacko.
Stop this whole thing.
Yeah. We have a new Magnum PI, everybody. CBS has cast its star for the reboot. You know him, you love him. Diablo from Suicide Squad. He was in Bad Moms. He's most recently, the journalist on Scandal.
Jesus.
Not Jesus, but pretty damn close. Jay Hernandez.
Yay! Woo!
Oh, yeah. He is going to be playing the role that Tom Selleck made so famous. However, in this version, he's going to be coming back from a stint in the Navy SEALs and then become a PI, which is awesome. However, his butler, Higgins, going to be a lady.
Okay.
Yeah. Right? Can I turn down your bed type of situation? No? Do butlers turn down beds?
I don't know what butlers do.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But
what did Higgins do? Did anybody watch that show?
Higgins was like the butler, and he'd bring him tea and stuff. And
he'd say, oh, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
That's it. That's he'd all I
like, was there mint on the pillow turndown service, though? I think is what Ali's asking.
I know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have the answer to that. I don't know what a butler does.
We'll get back to you
okay.
on that
Would
one.
They put a Cadbury's creme egg on the pillowcase?
It's cream, and I'm still upset.
How about a pep?
Okay. Not a pep. You guys, there's a sequel to It in the works, and yesterday, Twitter went nuts about Jessica Chastain in talks to star as the adult Beverly in the film.
Love it.
Oh. Yes. Oh, yeah. So, Love of course, it. The last film was all about the kids that were terrorized by Pennywise. This film, reportedly, about those kids who are now adults, they return to the town years later to confront Pennywise again. Why? Why wouldn't you leave well enough alone
because,
and never go to that town again?
Because we need another It movie, that's why.
Damn it!
Because it was so great.
It's so ridiculous.
And great.
I love it. I do love it. So Radiohead said that they're going to be playing a bunch of arenas this summer. Tour begins July 7th in Chicago, wraps up in Philly. As of yesterday, no L.A. dates.
Okay.
Still, I don't believe any L.A. dates. Why, do you think?
I don't know.
They don't like
They
this.
Haven't announced the whole tour yet, is what I think.
Do you think?
I think they probably have only announced maybe Midwest and East Coast dates.
Yeah, well, they've only announced July 7th and then wrapping up on August 1st. So either it's a really short tour. Or
wrapping up on August 1st, so it's a 3-week tour.
Yeah, huh. They just hate us.
Hmm. Or they haven't announced it yet.
It could be that they haven't announced it yet.
Right,
you guys.
Heard a guy say that.
I heard a guy say that as well. Do we have time to do the Liam Gallagher again?
Sure.
Just real quick, because it just delights me to no end. When you put Liam Gallagher together with children in a classroom setting, and Liam says, "Hey, kids, ask me anything." It starts off real sweet.
What's your favorite Disney movie?
I like Finding Nemo. What's your one?
Beauty and the Beast.
Nice.
And then it gets ugly when a kid asks him about what instrument he plays.
What instrument do you play?
I don't play instruments, I just sing. But I had a brother who played the guitar.
I know his name, Noel.
Oh, yeah, he's naughty. He's naughty. And he's not much bigger than you, actually. Yeah, what shoe size are you?
11E.
Yeah, I think he's about 11A.
I am shocked he didn't call Noel a potato right there in front of the kids. And then, of course, as kids do, they want to hear all about farts.
What's your favorite fart?
My favorite fart. There's got to be the loud ones. Loud ones, loud farts. I want people to know when I farted, do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Because you're proud of it, aren't you? You know what I mean? When it's silent and that, sometimes they take credit for it, but you want it to just tear the house down, don't you?
You wanted to tear the house down?
That's a man that's proud of his butt, man.
If the kids learned anything that day, it's that never let someone take credit for your fart.
Right?
Right? I support that. I also support these kids taunting him about their favorite football teams.
I support Man United.
They're rubbish.
I support Manchester City. Someone told me you were nice kids.
We're evil kids. You lost against Liverpool.
Can we edit that bit out?
We support Manchester for
you. This is a nightmare.
He called the kids a nightmare. That is just brilliant. That came to us courtesy of the music TV channel Noisy, and we've got it up on krock.com if you want to see the full video where he gets into it with a little girl who's convinced that her favorite song is called Oasis, and he's like, no, that's the band name. Just goes back and forth. It is adorable. Some birthdays for you. These actresses, Sophie Turner, Ellen Page, Ashley Green, Jennifer Love Hewitt, actor, director, Oscar nominee Jordan Peele, and comedian, actor, writer, podcast host, and Oscar nominee Kumail Nanjiani. Happy birthday. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. And your drive home tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show with People Are Dumb. We're going to talk sports with Jim Rome. And on Thursdays, we check in with Dr. Drew as well. We'll see you tomorrow.